All right. Praise the Lord. Take our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. What an honor and privilege it is to be back at Victory Baptist Church. And your pastor is such a friend and a help to others and to other churches. I know you appreciate him. We appreciate the ministry of this church and the work of this church. And it's just a joy and honor to be with you. And tonight, I'm looking in the book of Ephesians. The Ephesian church is an unusual church. It's a great church. It's the church that I believe that the Apostle Paul, God had him spend the most time in all of his ministry there. He said that he was there for 3 years, and night and day he warned them. The book of Ephesians and the church of Ephesians was the only one I can find. You've got John and Paul both writing to them under the inspiration of the Spirit. A great church. Wonder what kind of Bible conference they would have at Ephesus. And as I'm looking at this book, I just got through preaching through the book of Ephesians for the second time last year. And I've only got 2 points tonight, but the problem is the first point of the first 3 chapters and the second point are the last 3 chapters. So we'll see how that goes. Ephesians chapter 1, will you look with me in verse 3 and we'll pray after we read this verse. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you have done for us. We certainly don't deserve any of it. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us greater recognition even tonight as we look in your word again of these things that you have for us, that you've given us, and help us to see our blessings and help us to equal those blessings with our responsibilities. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you teach us and help us with tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Bible says that God should be blessed because of all the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. He's really the one that needs to be blessed. But we are the ones that He who had blessed us. Now notice He says in verse 3, "had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Most of the blessings that people are interested in are earthly blessings. They're physical blessings. They're definitely not spiritual blessings. Those usually aren't the blessings that people want or they're interested in or they're impressed with. But those are the real blessings that'll last. And those are the real blessings that we need. You know, if we're not careful, what the devil did so many, when he started out this thing with humanity, he'll come into the garden of your life and try to tell you that you're missing out on something from God and that there is something more that you need or that you should want to have except the blessings that God has provided for you. Can you imagine living in a paradise? And yet all that was given up because I guess there was not a recognition of all the blessings that were theirs. And maybe they were looking for something else. The Bible lets us know that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Look at it. In Christ. The first thing I want to say is that all those blessings are in Christ. And it's a blessing to be in Christ. That phrase occurs so many times through the book of Ephesians, especially in the first 3 chapters. Would you look at verse 1? He says, "to the faithful in Christ Jesus." He said in our verse 3, of course, in Christ. He said in verse 4, "according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Now that doesn't have anything to do with Calvinism because you didn't get in Him until you got out of your sin. Because in chapter 2, He said you were in your sin. You can't be in your sin and in Christ at the same time. You had to move somewhere, some point in time, you see. But if you'll get out of your sin and get into Christ, what blessing you will have in your life. It's a blessing just to be in Jesus Christ. What's that blessing? Look at verse 6, He said, "to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. If you're in Christ, that means you're accepted. We live in a world people want acceptance. God says if you want acceptance from me, then you've got to get in Christ and you'll be blessed with acceptance. You stay outside of Christ, you miss out on the blessing. Everybody wants to be accepted. Everybody wants to be received. And God says you get in Christ, you get accepted. What a blessing to be accepted instead of rejected. He was rejected so we could be accepted. What a blessing. He said, he keeps on reading, all these things are in Christ. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. I think if you could read that and see yourself as a redeemed individual, as we sing these songs sometimes, and I think they don't enter into our hearts. You know, if you knew you were redeemed and bought and paid for all your sins, bought and paid for, and you're forgiven, what do you got to complain about? What have we got to be sour-mouthed about? We're forgiven. What a blessing it is to be forgiven. And that's only in Him. In Him is that redemption. In Him is that acceptance. Look at verse 11. He said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance. That inheritance is so rich. Would you look at verse 18? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The Bible says, in whom, in Him, we have obtained an inheritance. I don't know what you're worth, and I don't know what you're going to be worth when your mom and dad die or all your relatives. You know, so many people are waiting for their relatives to kick the bucket, you know, so they can finally get something that they never worked for. But I tell you what, I got something waiting on me that I never worked for, and it's God's inheritance. And He says it's the riches. It's the riches of His inheritance. How rich do you think God is? And God says, I've got that inheritance for you. If you'll get in Him, if you'll get in Him, there is an inheritance. Riches aren't in houses and lands and paper money and iPhones and vacations and all this stuff. The riches are found in Jesus Christ. And in Him, what a blessing. We have an inheritance, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God's got an inheritance for His children. And yet, people get so wrapped up and so interested in what they've got down here. God says in Jesus, you've got a big inheritance. You just ought to run around and shout a while because you're rich toward God. You've got true riches. True riches. You have something that the world will never know about. You've got, verse 7, the riches of His grace. You've got what He says about in verse chapter 2, verse 4, the riches of His mercy. You've got what He's talking about in chapter 3, verse 8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can't even get to the bottom. You can't even get to the depth of the understanding of all the riches that are found in Jesus Christ. And if you're in Christ, you know what that means? That means you've hit it, man. You struck it rich. It's the Powerball. You got it all. These people, man, they just go crazy. You know, They get these tickets and they win these Powerballs and they hold on to them and they look at the numbers 500, 600, 700 times, you know, and their whole life changes because all of a sudden they're rich. And yet, if you're in Jesus Christ, you've got something bigger than a Powerball ticket. You've got forever and ever and ever. With Jesus, you've got Jesus Christ. You stepped into Jesus, and Jesus stepped into you. Why don't you just get that thing out and read it over a couple of hundred times and know what the riches of the inheritance that God has for you? There's a lot of blessings for the Christian. A lot of blessings that maybe are overlooked, and the devil gets beside of us and says, you know, you don't have too much. All these things are in Christ. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. There it is again. In Christ. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. God, we have had a new creation in Christ. There's something brand new
that God made in my heart, in my life, through Jesus Christ. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 21, in whom, there it is again, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. You're a part of something so much bigger than yourself. You're blessed. In whom, 22, all ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What's the blessings? Well, the blessings is the fact that you're in Jesus Christ instead of in your sin. What's another blessing in this text, in these first three chapters? Look at chapter 2, verse 18. He says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That's a big blessing. That means that you can go to heaven's shore and you don't even have to knock on the door. You know why? Because you've got access. The door's already open. You've got confidence to go in. You've got boldness to go in. I remember Brother Earl preaching, said you'd never go to your own house and knock on your own door. And God says because of our family relationship with God and through Jesus Christ in him, we've got access and we've got boldness and we've got confidence. Only three times in the Bible the word access is used, and every time it's about Jesus Christ giving us access to God. All the keys, man. You just walk right in. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom also we have access. Amen. We've got access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What a blessing. I got access to God. I got access to heaven. I'm not a stranger. I'm part of the family. And that's another blessing. Look at chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. You say, why are you preaching through all this? Well, I tell you what. I walk around and look at a lot of Christian people, and they don't look like they're getting a blessing very much. I don't see all the blessings. He's telling this Ephesian church, boy, God has really laid the blessings on you. In chapter 3, verse 15, look at it. He says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What a blessing. You Gentiles, you used to be you in the time past, Gentiles, Ephesians 2:11, and you weren't in that family, you were cut off, but now you're a part of the whole family in heaven and in earth that's named by the name of God. And not just the family of the New Testament church. Man, I'm related to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham is the father of the faithful. I'm in God's family. And the whole family, what a blessing. Your pedigree doesn't matter. But if you're in Christ, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got a brand new family. Who cares what your family's like? Now you've got a bigger family than just who you're going home with. The whole family in heaven and in earth is. They look at chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What a family you have. And you're a citizen in there. You got voting rights. Don't stand outside like you don't belong. Don't mully grub like you're not a part. Act like you're with it. Act like you're in the family. What a blessing it is to be in the family of God, and to be fellow citizens with the saints. And you know what that means? There's fellow citizens. There are no big shots. We're all fellow citizens. It's not like, you know, you go sit in that corner. No, I'm in the family. I have never had one of my children come to the table and said, Dad, can I sit at the table with y'all? When you're part of the family, everybody in the family is on that same plane. Well, that's a blessing from God. The blessing of the household of God, the blessing of the whole family. What a privilege. We didn't deserve that. He said in chapter 1, I give you another blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will,
according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. God says, I tell you what kind of blessing it is. I dumped on you a bunch of wisdom and prudence, and I've made known unto you things that are just mysteries. And it's been my good pleasure to pour out understanding to you. That means, you know what that blessing is? That means you don't have to be stupid anymore. God's given you wisdom and prudence. That's not something you learn. You know, there's some things about wisdom and knowledge that come just with getting saved. All of a sudden you know things you didn't used to know. Well, that's not right. I don't know why it's not right, but I shouldn't be doing that. I know I'm going to heaven. I mean, I can't write you a science book about it, but I've got this knowledge. That's the day after you get saved. Wisdom and knowledge that God, you know, we live in a world where people know nothing. They have no understanding. And in chapter 3, he says in verse 18 of chapter 3, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. He says, I'm giving you some information that most of the whole world only knows is a mystery. What a blessing. He says also, let's keep going on this theme of these blessings. That's what chapter 1, 2, and 3, the first half of this book, it's just all about telling them about all their blessings that they have. He says in chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What a blessing. God didn't have to do that. I tell you what, I thank God I live in the dispensation. I'm a sorry Christian the way I am with the sealing of the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine trying to live for God without the Holy Ghost. Think about that a while. I bet my singing and praise to God would be so hollow without the Spirit of God. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God, I not only couldn't preach, I couldn't read my Bible. I wouldn't be worth shooting. And God said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to bless you. If you'll get saved, I'll seal you with the Holy Ghost. And till the day you die, He'll walk around with you everywhere you are. How many of God's people live in ignorance of the truth and the relationship of the Holy Spirit? They live like the Holy Spirit's a doctrine instead of a person. It's a blessing to have the Spirit of God in you. Not just in the sense to keep you saved, but to do that ministering work into your heart, to point you to Jesus Christ and teach of Him and fill your heart with Him. Then he says in verse 18, chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. You know what another blessing is? We have hope. Now, he said in chapter 2, in verse 12, there was a day we had no hope. But now we have hope. You know, no matter what happens in America, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got hope. You ought to walk around like you know you've got hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You've got hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't walk around hopeless. You have a blessing that you have a hope beyond this world. Our hope, which is in heaven, you see. It's Jesus Christ. We have hope. He says in verse 23 of chapter 1, which is His body. We're a part of that if you're saved. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all, with the blessing of God's fullness in our lives. He said in chapter 3, verse 19, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God said, well, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to just fill you all the way up with myself. The blessing of God's fullness. In verse 19 of chapter 1, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. The Bible says that God has given to us the blessing of His own power. The blessing of the power of God working in our life. He said in chapter 3, verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory and to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's power is working in you. You may fight against it. You may not yield to it. But the Bible tells us that one of the blessings of being saved is the power of God is working on you and working in your life. We are so weak, but He's so strong. And the blessing of His power working in our life when there's no power about us. He said in chapter 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Watch this word. In His what? Kindness. You know what a blessing it is? A blessing is from God, a spiritual blessing, that God is just kind to us. He's kind to the unthankful and unto the evil. He's just kind. You know, He talks about, you know, before we got saved, there's a whole list of what all of us were. He said over there in Titus, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. What kindness God has toward you. He's kind to you. He's not cruel to you. He's kind to you. The blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. Of course, you can also look at chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, that gift of God which is eternal life. God's gift. I'd say that's a pretty good blessing. He would give us eternal life. Look at one more. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. For He is our what? Our peace. Verse 15, at the end of the verse. For to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making what? Peace. Peace. You know what a great spiritual blessing is? It's peace. God's peace. Through Jesus Christ, if you're saved, God has made peace. Jesus Christ has made peace between us and God. And He's also given peace in my heart. He is my peace. And when everything else is falling apart, He's my peace. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. He didn't have to give that blessing. But His ever-staying peace is a blessing. Now, you know, we just overviewed that. We could have spent a lot of time on that. What blessings of God. And those are the things the devil doesn't want you to think about through the week. He wants you to think about how bad your health is. Or about your family problems. Or about the disappointments that you have. But the first thing we need to do for three chapters of the day is to think about the abundant blessings that God has put on our lives. And I tell you what, the reason that most people's lives turn out to be miserable is not because of trouble, because all of us have trouble. It's because there's a lack of gratitude and thankfulness in our heart. And the reason there's a lack of gratitude and thankfulness in our heart is because we're not considering the blessings. Somewhere along we've listened to the serpent that there's something else that I need to partake of. There's something else that God is holding out on me with. Instead of looking at all these trees and instead of looking at what God's given me, I'll never understand why Adam and Eve never took of the tree of life. You'll never explain that to me. God did not have someone there to keep them from that tree. And God told them they could freely eat of how many of them? All the trees except for that tree of the knowledge of the goodness. Why didn't they take the tree of life? Why didn't they want the tree of life? Why didn't they want that blessing that God had for them? Why didn't they want something else? Maybe they considered not the depth of the blessing. Well, that's point one. Have we done all right so far? Now, this is what our modern friends will do with Christianity. Their book of Ephesians stops at the third chapter. In other words, the only thing we're supposed to do is just talk about our blessings and rest in Christ and enjoy Christ. And that's all the Christian life is. But that's not all what the book of Ephesians is. The first part of Ephesians, the first half is your blessings. The last half are the responsibilities that need to meet all those blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Look at chapter 4, verse 1, wouldn't you? He said, Therefore, because of all of these blessings that God has put upon you, I'm going to beseech you about something. Look at verse 17 of chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore, he says. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, chapter 6, verse 14, stand therefore. In other words, because I've got all these three chapters full of blessings, therefore, there's some things that ought to just automatically come out of my life. I don't just have blessings, I have responsibilities. And you have a perverted view of Christianity if you just have blessings and no responsibility. You have half a Bible. What are those responsibilities? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at them. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye, what's that phrase? Walk worthy. Well, because you're in Christ, well, walk worthy of Him. Now, you can't be worthy, but you can walk worthy. Because you're accepted in the Beloved, you need to walk worthy. Because the Spirit of God's in you, then your walk ought to be a worthy walk for Him. Because you are a part of the family of God and the household of faith, and what a great family you have, then your walk needs to be worthy of the family that you belong to. Because you have a spiritual knowledge and understanding, you ought to walk like you've got a brain. Because of the blessing of God in your life, you've got hope. You've got fullness, you've got power, you've got kindness, you've got the gift of God, you've got the peace of God. Well, now if you've got all that, let's get to walking worthy. Is your Christian life, is your walk of the Christian life worthy of the blessings that He's bestowed upon you? He's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different ways to walk in these last chapters. He says, walk worthy. He said in chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love. I think we need to go back preaching Sam Jones's message, you know, of quit your meanness. Everybody's mad about everything. He said, walk in love. He said in chapter 5, verse 8, for ye sometimes you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He said in verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does it mean? What does circumspectly mean? It means cautious, with watchful attention in every way. In other words, the picture of the Christian life is, man, I've got all these blessings, man. Yeah. All right, man. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. No, the view of the Christian life is, wow, I've got all these blessings. I need to walk. I need to be circumspect. I need to be looking. I need to be walking worthy. I need to walk in love. I need to walk as a child of light. Don't let God waste all these blessings on your hide. Walk like a Christian. Well, you know, preacher, look, God told you you're accepted, that the Spirit of God's in you, that you've got boldness, that you've got confidence, that you've got access, that you've got knowledge, that you've got power, that you've got His peace, you've got His gift. Why couldn't we live right? Talks about our walk, the last walk, he says in chapter 4, verse 17, walk worthy, walk in love, walk as children of light, walk circumspectly, Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And if you don't know what that means, he tells you, in the vanity of their mind. Now, what's vanity? Well, all you have to do is read Ecclesiastes. You'll find out what vanity is. All is vanity, saith the preacher. Everything under the sun is vanity. Everything in this world is vain. It's not worth living for. It doesn't last. It doesn't matter. God says, don't walk like a Gentile in the vanity of their mind. Don't live like today is what matters. What matters is eternity. What matters is the day you'll stand before God. So live your life in light of eternity, not in light of now. Gentiles, what do they live for? You know what they live for. What do they think is valuable? Money's valuable, and clothing styles are valuable, and friends are valuable, and their opinions are valuable, and showing their body off is valuable, and world peace is valuable, and cell phones are valuable, and computers and animals are valuable. And God says, that's pretty vain. Doesn't that dog kiss you in the mouth? And it's just a, my little poochie. It's a dog. Now, see, I said it because I don't know who in here has a dog. I don't care. Oh, I've got to get the latest styles. Really? With all these blessings and all you can think about is your makeup and your shoes and your... and the blog and the movie. You know, I was hoping. My brother's talking about the guys preaching long, which I'm working on it. He said about people preaching long, you know what? They're getting ready to show this Avenger movie, right? Oh, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Give me a break. That movie is over 3 hours long, and people can't wait for it to get shown. They're watching something that isn't real. And they'll cry and shout and laugh and spend money and come out like, wow, that's the greatest thing ever was. And God says, I bet the angels, if the angels are interested in this, what are they doing? Look at these people. They're watching screens all day. And it's big stuff. What's important to you? What do you value? If you really understood your blessings, you ought to value things that God values. You ought to value the souls of men. You ought to value the Word of God. You ought to value holiness. You ought to value the coming of the Lord. You ought to value things that last instead of things that are vain. You've got great blessings. Don't walk in the vanity of your mind. He said in verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated, I'm in 4:18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He said, don't walk ignorantly. That's what the Gentiles do. They are ignorant of the truth. They are ignorant of salvation. They are ignorant of the Bible. They're ignorant of preaching. They're ignorant of the church. They're ignorant of God's expectations on their life. They're ignorant of hell. They're ignorant of heaven. They're ignorant of what's clean. They're ignorant of eternity. They're ignorant about the coming of Christ. They're ignorant about human decency. They're ignorant about their own sins. And God said, look, I have blessed you. Don't walk in ignorance. How can God's people not know what's wrong with them when God puts wisdom and knowledge in our hearts? Don't walk like a Gentile. He said, these Gentiles, verse 19, who being past feeling, can't feel the guilt and the shame of the bad things they do. And they have no good feeling for God. The Gentiles are past feeling. He said, look, you know, I bless you. There ought to be some good feeling there. It's okay. It's hard to have feeling. Acts 17, if they might feel after him. Feel after God. It's all right. It's in the Bible. It's okay. You're a creature that has feelings. but you shouldn't use them as a Gentile. Put those feelings on God, not on the feelings that people that have these, that do not have these blessings, what they put them on. Well, I'm still reading. I don't know how long I've been preaching, but I'm up through. Chapter 4, verse 14, our responsibility, that we henceforth be no more what? Children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may, what does that say? Grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God says, hey, you've been really blessed. Now you need to grow up. You need to grow up. You need to walk right, and then you need to grow up. You need to grow up into Jesus. You need to become like Jesus Christ, unto that perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Why doesn't it bother us that we're not more like Jesus Christ when He has given us all these blessings to make us like Jesus Christ? Don't miss out on the purpose of your Christian life. He said, grow up. Not growing up in Christ can be very dangerous. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be blown away. And spiritual maturity is not knowing the facts of the Bible. Spiritual maturity is being in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what it means to grow up. Now, I've got all these blessings. How do I know if I need to grow up? I told our church the other day, I said, you ought to thank God for a church that has babies in it, you know, baby Christians that still haven't grown up yet. Because church babies give us a chance to exercise our grown-upness. Well, that fell flat. In other words, it's all right to have people around you that are spiritually immature because it helps you to be spiritually mature. It gives you a chance to exercise how mature you are. Grow up. You say, how do I know if I need to grow up? Most people in this century that are in Christianity do need to grow up. I wrote these things down. I think you appreciate them. You know you need to grow up when you can't get along with people. Because little kids can't get along with anybody. Just go to the nursery. It doesn't take anything. It don't matter what kids you put in the nursery, they just can't get along. You know, I told somebody one time, I said, you know, you don't get along with anybody. Could you just stop and think that maybe you've got a problem? But no, you want to sit in my office for an hour and tell me about everybody else that's got a problem? Yeah, but you can't get along with anybody. You know what? You just need to grow up. Grow up. You know you need to grow up when you can't follow instructions. I mean, little kids can't follow instructions very well. They can't even color in the lines. It's amazing, some people that have been saved for so many years and they still can't follow the line. They still can't take instructions. Children can't take instructions. Show how spiritual you are. You've got all these blessings. What do you care if somebody tells you what to do? You've got inheritance. Well, yeah, grow up. You know you need to grow up when you're picky about your food. Well, I don't like that preacher. I want my favorite preacher. He don't say it loud enough or with the right cadence. He talks like a northern. He's quiet. He's too loud. Picky. That one's deeper. I like these other people are so shallow. That one's too deep. He's boring. You know what I can't stand? I can't stand church people that can only get a blessing out of certain preachers. That means you're picky about your food. Eat your peas. Amen. Eat your vegetables. It's good for you. Adults, just thank God for the plate, amen, and eat. Yeah, I don't like that. Oh, hush. There's another room for those people in the other side of the building. Right. You know you need to grow up when other people have to keep cleaning up your mess. Now, I'm in the Bible, see. He says, grow up. When everybody else having to clean up what you messed up. Somebody's got to pick up all the toys you broke. Somebody's got to clean up the dirty diapers you laid on. We had a kid the other day in the nursery. My wife was in there. She said, he's chewing his snack. And he looked at her and he went, just spit it right in the nursery. And just laughed. Now, you think he's going to clean that up? No, you clean that up. You can always tell babies, they don't clean up their room. We're talking about responsibility. You know, there's a mess. There's lots of messes in Christianity in church houses today. And somebody's got to go clean them up. You know, the same people have to go clean them up. Now, if you're making a mess, won't you grow up and quit making a mess? Now, if you've only been saved a while, we understand what you do in your diaper and what you do on the floor. We understand all that. But grow up after a while. Quit making messes that everybody has to pick up. You know you need to grow up when you're overly sensitive. Little children, they'll just start crying for no reason. Overly sensitive. It's a Bible conference. I better not preach there very long. But the reason that everybody has to walk on glass with you and handle you with kid gloves is because you're a baby. Now look, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're accepted. You're in the family. You have the Holy Ghost. You have hope. You have an inheritance. You've got peace. Why so sensitive? Well, you know you need to grow up when nobody can ever count on you. You know you need to grow up when you keep throwing temper tantrums all the time. And you know you need to grow up when you can never admit that you're wrong. What wonderful blessings. And he says, you know, with all that stuff, we need to take it up a notch. We need to grow in the Lord. And while you're growing in the Lord, he says in chapter 4, verse 22, I want you to change your clothes. He says in verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He said every day you get up in the morning, you need to change your clothes. You know, you don't wake up spiritual. Ain't nobody in here wakes up spiritual. Just like you don't wake up dressed for the day. When we wake up in the morning, we smell. That's why you need to take a shower. You need to bathe in the morning. Physically. You don't wake up in the morning with sweet smelling breath. No, you got to make some changes every day of your life. And you know what? When you get up in the morning, nobody puts your clothes on for you unless you're handicapped or something. Wouldn't that be so dumb if I woke up in the morning and said, honey, would you please put on my socks? The other day, I had a pinched nerve or something in my back. I couldn't tie my shoes, man. And I was struggling at it. I was working at it. And my son came over there and he said, Dad, let me tie you. I said, you ain't tied my shoes. I got enough pride. I'm not going to let my boy tie my shoes. I will cry in pain before my boy is going to tie my shoes. let alone. Let alone what he might have to do later. There's just a sense of personal responsibility. You know, God is not going to take off the dirt and the filth and the junk that's in your life that you wake up every day. You got, because you've been blessed, you need to take it off yourself. And you need to put on your own clothes every day. Your pastor can't make you spiritual. The Holy Ghost won't make you spiritual. Your mom and dad and brethren won't make you spiritual. You've got to get up and put off the old man and put on your right clothes. And because you've been blessed, you ought to do it. What kind of clothes are those? He said in that next verse, he said, wherefore, verse 25, putting away lying. Get that one off of you. Verse 27, quit giving place to the devil. 28, let him that stole steal no more. Quit stealing. Verse 29, put off that corrupt communication out of your mouth and start saying things that edify people and minister grace to people. Verse 30, and quit grieving the Holy Ghost. And 31, put off that bitterness you got in your heart. Well, I went to the altar last week. Yeah, but you got to put it off tomorrow. And the wrath and the anger and the clamor and the evil speaking and the malice. And then you need to put on kindness one to another and tender-hearted and forgiving forgiveness for one another. Because you've been blessed, God says you've got that responsibility. I don't have time to preach all the rest of these chapters. But he said in chapter 5, verse 1, be followers of God. He said in verse 3 through 5 of chapter 5, he said, let some things not be named about you one time. Let it not be once named among you. Man, what a statement from God. He says in 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He's saying, quit wasting your time not doing the will of God. And yes, sometimes the will of God is waiting. But so many people run away from the will of God and don't understand the will of God and don't do the will of God. If God has blessed you, do His will, no matter where it is, how it is, or when it is, or what it is. He's blessed you. Just do what He wants you to do. And while you're doing it, He says in verse 19 and 20, start singing. I mean, if you've been blessed, start singing about it. Speak to yourselves about it. Remind each other about it. And give thanks always for all things unto God. Be thankful. Be happy. Rejoice. If you've got these blessings. And the last two I don't want to touch. He says, you know what you need to do? As he closes the book of Ephesians out, you've been blessed. Here's your responsibilities. And I'm going to say this on purpose this way. Try and get your home right. You have to say it like that today. Some problems are not going to be solved this side of heaven. But you need to try your very best because you've been blessed to get your home right. That's what he says in Ephesians. And the last thing he says, be strong, stand, and fight. God, give us the fight back in our hearts. Not against one another, but against the devil and against evil and against wrong. There's something about this age that just saps the fight out of us. And God says, remember and look at all these blessings. And stand in my power. And fight. I didn't bless you to sit. I blessed you to stand and fight. You've got all of heaven to rest. You've got all of heaven to relax. You've been blessed. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to fight the good fight of faith. Stand up for God. Blessings. responsibilities. They are equal. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the patience and the attention of your people. Help us, Lord, to consider your blessings in our lives. Help us, O God, to be willing to fulfill the responsibilities that come with how much you've blessed us. And we'll thank you. But he says in Ephesians,